If you will, be opening to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Very familiar story, very familiar reading. Let me say just one or two things before we get into our reading and into our lesson. Sometimes it almost seems like to some there is an overlap between Jesus' parallels and things that actually happened in Jesus' life. It's almost like, well, I can't remember, is this a story Jesus gave or did this actually happen? Well, we need to be sure because the application certainly does change because of that. This actually happened to Jesus. This actually happened. We believe it and we learn from it. So let me read from Luke chapter 19. In Jericho, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans. He was very rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who was passing through. But he could not because of the crowd. And because he was so little in stature, he ran ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree so that he could see Jesus, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place where Zacchaeus was, he looked up and saw him and said to Zacchaeus, "Make haste and come down, for today I will abide at your house." Brethren, I don't know how tall Zacchaeus was. I was teaching a class of teenagers one time about this story, and the only thing it seemed they wanted to know, how tall was he? I don't know, but he was vertically challenged. He was short. He was noticeably short, and I think that plays a part in our lesson today. But evidently, height has nothing to do with success. Because not only was he a publican, an official of Rome among the Jews, he was chief of the publicans. Now, I think that means, and I have heard, that means he didn't go and sit at a customs table and accept the taxes as the other publicans did. He was in charge of all of those other publicans. So he dealt directly with the Roman government. He would make sure that all of the taxes were taken care of. He would keep the books. He would keep the tax records. Now, tax collectors under that system naturally would not be liked because he was a Jew working for the Romans, collecting Jewish money to give to the Romans. Naturally, he would not be well liked. In fact, the reputation of a lot of tax collectors was certainly in question. And because of probably a few rotten apples, all of them were branded as crooked. Now, the way a tax collector, a publican, same thing, a way a tax collector would make his money here in first century Judea was he would overtax a certain amount and he would keep that for his salary. If, for instance, you had to pay $100 in taxes and he charged you $150 in taxes, then he would keep that $50 for his salary, his pay. Well, I'm sure some of the tax collectors would only collect just a nominal amount to cover their salary, whereas I would imagine some of them took full advantage of this and overtaxed to the fullest extent, and then all of the publicans, all of the tax collectors would be lumped in with that small group, and they would be very, very, very disliked. And brethren, I would dislike them too. If I was a Jew and I was making my Jewish money and a Jewish friend of mine would come and say, "Give me taxes, I'm going to keep some for myself and I'm going to give the rest to Rome," I wouldn't like that either. So Zacchaeus was a tax collector. More than that, he was the chief tax collector. So probably among all the tax collectors, he was the absolutely least liked of them all. So Jesus is passing through Jericho. I cannot prove it, but it seems very obvious. Zacchaeus had at least heard of Jesus. He must have been impressed with what he heard. Perhaps he had heard him on another occasion. But he determined he wanted to see Jesus. Now, brethren, this is my humble opinion, but I truly believe that the reason it's pointed out that he was vertically challenged is because when he tried to press up to see Jesus, those Jews would not allow him to move up. They kept him behind. Remember, he's short. They kept him behind. But he really wanted to see Jesus. I do think that is the main lesson we learn from this story. He really wanted to see Jesus. We need to really be with Jesus. And he ran ahead, climbed into a sycamore tree to rise himself above the crowd. And when Jesus passed by, though he could not see Jesus before, Jesus saw him. And when he reached that spot, that point of time, Jesus looked up, saw Zacchaeus, said, "Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. Today I will be with you in your house." Again, I think it's very ironic. Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus. Jesus saw him and said, "Come down. Today I will go with you to your house." Now here's where our lesson begins. Why would Jesus say this to Zacchaeus? I feel quite sure Jesus knew he was a tax collector. I feel quite sure he knew he was a publican, probably knew he was the chief of publicans. Why would Jesus stop as he passed through, look up, see Zacchaeus, and say, "Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. I'm going home with you today." Why? Because Jesus has the ability that you and I don't have. He could look right into Zacchaeus' heart. He could see what was there. What was there? Well, I'm sure Zacchaeus had some very good points. If you read that story, I hope everyone is familiar with the story. If you read the story, he apparently was a very honest tax collector. Maybe Jesus looked into his heart and he saw something promising. Maybe he saw something good in Zacchaeus. I think besides that, he saw a soul that needed to be saved. That's the real message here. He saw someone who was not knowing Jesus, not accepting him as Lord and Savior, who needed to. He did not prejudge Zacchaeus. And you know, brethren, as human beings, we often do that. He did not get hung up in appearance. And you know, as human beings, we often do that. That's what Jesus saw, a man that needed a chance, a man that needed salvation. Maybe God had a purpose for Zacchaeus' life. That's not mentioned in the story. Maybe God had a purpose. But Jesus stopped at the right time, at the right place, saw Zacchaeus, said, "Zacchaeus, come down. Make haste, hurry and come down. Today I'm going with you to your house." Now, I thought of other people that also had opportunities, maybe not so similar as to Zacchaeus, but they had opportunities. God gave Jonah an opportunity to do a great and mighty work, and the great and mighty work was ultimately accomplished, but first of all, Jonah ran away. Zacchaeus didn't run away. I can remember Agrippa when Paul preached to him, and I'm fully convinced from the scripture, Agrippa wanted to become a Christian. In fact, he said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." But he made excuses. At least Zacchaeus didn't make excuses. He didn't ignore Jesus. He didn't refuse Jesus. He didn't deny Jesus. He could have done a million things. But you know what he did do? He did what Jesus told him to do. In fact, that's probably the second strongest statement we learn, or second strongest thing we learn from this story. He just did what God or what Jesus told him to do. Jesus said, "Come down," and he did. Now, here's another point I think we need to get from this story. Had Zacchaeus not run ahead of the crowd, had he got his feelings hurt and said, "Well, they're making fun of me because I'm vertically challenged. They're making fun of me, so I'm going home by myself." Had he not run ahead, had he not climbed that tree, had he ignored Jesus when Jesus calls, who knows, Zacchaeus may have never gotten another opportunity to see Jesus. And brethren, it makes me wonder sometimes when we see people at a congregation who week after week and month after month and year after year have an opportunity to hear the truth. We don't know when that opportunity is going to stop. This might have been Zacchaeus' only opportunity, and fortunately, he took advantage of that opportunity. Jesus said, come down. He came down. Jesus said, I'm going home with you. He went home with you. Now, God is notorious for asking people to do things. He asked Moses to go and secure the release of the Israelites. At first, Moses hedged, but he finally did. He asked David to lead Israel to a degree of prominence that maybe was surpassed in wealth by Solomon, but in strength had never been surpassed before. He asked Jonah to go to Nineveh and give an opportunity of salvation, an opportunity of repentance to the people of Nineveh. He asked John the Baptist to introduce his son here upon the earth. He asked Paul to leave the Jews and go to the Gentiles. And brethren, he asked Zacchaeus to do something. And maybe he's asked you and me to do something. Maybe we haven't even identified what that something is as of yet. But maybe he's just waiting for us to climb that tree because we want to see Jesus. We want to contact Jesus. And if that is the case, brethren, let's get up that tree. So Jesus reaches the right spot at the right time. He says, Zacchaeus, come down today. I'm going home with you. And what do you think they did? Did they count Zacchaeus' money? He was very rich. No, they talked about salvation. In fact, one of the greatest verses from this context is where Jesus says, I come to seek and save that which is lost. That's from the same context of their conversation. Open, if you will, to song number 276. I probably should have got with Mike earlier, though I don't know if he knows this song well enough to lead it. I can sing along with Alan Jackson. When I'm listening to him sing this on the radio, I have tried to lead it. I cannot. But these words, this first verse especially, says exactly the point that I'm trying to make in this lesson. Look at the chorus, look at the verse, and then look at the chorus. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for the look at the Savior and a life more abundant and free. And then the chorus says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full on his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Do you think we can sing the chorus? Let's try. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So Jesus reached that right spot. He was in the right place at the right time. And he called Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, let's go home and study. Now, brethren, I believe Jesus also had the ability to look right into Zacchaeus' heart. He knew what was there. He knew the good and the opportunity that might present itself. But here's something even that overrides that. Zacchaeus was made in the image and likeness of God. If for no other reason, Jesus wanted to be with him because of that. If for no other reason, Zacchaeus had an eternal soul. And people with a soul deserve to hear the gospel. So the Lord then explained his mission to Zacchaeus, a passage that we read in almost every lesson we've ever read. Luke 19 and verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. Peter explained it to Cornelius this way. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Acts 10 verse 38. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell the wonderful teaching that Jesus made, the wonderful miracles that he performed. But all of his teaching and all of his miracles would have been only of temporary value if he did not express our need to be saved. He healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He even raised the dead. But again, that power would be of only temporary value if he didn't have the ability to save our soul. That was Jesus' ultimate purpose, to save Zacchaeus' soul. Now, I want to leave you with two passages of Scripture. Actually, Sonny mentioned one of these a moment ago. And these I want to be really the benchmark of our study tonight. One is John 3:16, and I want to read verse 17 also. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. That's not why Jesus came, but that the world through his Son might be saved. The Apostle Paul added in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Brethren, Zacchaeus was rich, but he needed to find the riches that were reserved for Christians in heaven. Now, how can anyone, Zacchaeus included, us included, how can anyone realize all that Jesus has done for us and then continue to refuse his call? Well, it's on your heart and your mind, but Jesus still wants to be there. Jesus is symbolically, however you want to say it, figuratively here tonight. Figuratively, symbolically, Jesus says, you come to me. I'm not coming any closer to you. You come to me. He is in the right place. He is here at the right time, and he issues the invitation. So if anyone needs to respond, please come as we stand and as we sing.